Hello out there, and welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. Today marks an extraordinary milestone as the Army Chaplains Corps celebrates their 250th birthday. Their leadership team will tell us why this momentous occasion is a testament to the unwavering dedication, spiritual guidance, and resilience they have provided countless service members throughout history. Please stay tuned for this very special and enlightening conversation. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and their families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of the military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I say it every week, I'm going to keep saying it. We love them too. Today, we're going to talk with the leadership team of the Army Chaplains Corps and the past, present, and future contributions of these remarkable individuals who have touched so many lives. And I'm excited, in fact, I'm motivated here to welcome Chaplain Major General William Green, Jr., Chief of Chaplains, and the Regimental Sergeant Major Megan B. Simmons of the Army Chaplains Corps. You can't tell I'm motivated. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you. It's great to have you on the show. And we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart and near and dear to your heart. But before we do that, would you, sir, and Sergeant Major, would you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself? And, sir, we'll start with you.
Hey, well, thank you once again. So I'm Bill Green. I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, and partly in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Small community, right? And one of the great things I appreciate about where I grew up is I was able to go to a very small school, and then also had some of the same teachers that my mom and dad had. And
oh,
so that small community, believe it or not, really nurtured me a lot and absolutely showed me what it meant to be respectful and to really just show love and compassion to other people. And so that's part of what I bring to the table. Also, my wife, Robin, and I, we've been married now 40 years. And so a great story as far as I'm concerned about my family life and how and why I'm here today.
Well, hey, Chaplain, first of all, you do golf. Being from that area, you got to be a golfer down
just
there.
Just a little bit. Sorry, you know how it is.
Hey, Sergeant Major, how about yourself? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, SMA. So I'm originally from Missouri. Currently been serving for 22 years and just blessed to have the opportunity now to come through the ranks and be the 11th Regimental Sergeant Major for the Chaplain Corps. I am dual military, SMA, so my husband actually is Command Sergeant Major Kenyon Simmons. So he's here at Joint Base Meyer Henderson Hall. So we are dual military. We have four children together, and I'm just serving here with the soldiers, and the NCR has been great just as a command team. I like to say, you know, two Sergeant Majors together, we live and breathe Army as we're raising some young adults and our little ones. So it's great. And just came into the Chaplain Corps. You know, I was in ministry prior to, and, you know, it was the opportunity to serve both God and country. So I said, hey, sign me up, and haven't looked back, and just living the dream and the blessing God's presented me thus far.
Every time I hear about two sergeant majors that are married together, I think about the retirement checks. That's what I think about. You know, that's
yes.
I'd be praying every day for that retirement check. But this is a very special day. Today we're celebrating the Army's Chaplains Corps 250th year birthday. That's almost as old as I am. I'm pretty close to that right now. I'm just a couple of years away from that. That's a long time. Why was the Chaplain's Corps stood up in the first place, and why does it still matter today? And sir, would you answer that question for us?
Oh, really? So, of course, and thanks a lot again, but George Washington, you know, is really the catalyst behind our Chaplain Corps. And so,
I didn't know that.
And actually what Washington realized very, very quickly when he was out in the battlefield there in the Revolutionary War is that he needed individuals he could rely upon. And so those chaplains were there to care for those soldiers. And believe me, it looked a little bit different back then, but, because they weren't necessarily, in uniform. There were just ministers and others from, the local church or parish. And so as a result of that, Washington realized that, like we talk about winning today, he realized that in order to really win, you need people who are firm in terms of their particular standing. And then also from a moral perspective, that they could go out on the battlefield and help win our war. And that's the same thing that we do today, right? We're still walking with our soldiers, ensuring that we care for them, showing compassion, love, and respect, but then also setting the conditions for them to help us as a nation to win whenever we are called upon by our great country.
Yeah, I was telling somebody a little while ago, and I work real close with the chaplains every assignment I ever had, but the chaplain you can talk to a chaplain just between you and him, or you and her, one or the other. But a lot of times, as an officer, as a non-commissioned officer, you may not have the skill sets to answer those questions, or what I'm talking about, just sort of help them out a little bit. And sometimes we think we got all the right answers, but send them to the right people. Again, I always refer to a lot of people to the chaplain. Same question, Sergeant Major. Same question for you, Abbott. Why?
So, as the chief said, over time, we've evolved in what it looks like, a chaplain. Mm-hmm. And, it's been about 115 years since they formally put a chaplain assistant, as you probably knew, SMA, but we're really just a fair specialist name now. So in 2017.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Yes. We are a religious affairs specialist now. But, we're the combatant for the chaplain. So that was important, too, right? Because chaplains are non-combatants, so that they had a battle buddy and enlisted it. And you talk about it, too, that the chaplain has confidentiality. And, that's extended to us now on the enlisted side. Yeah. And what's a great thing is that, we're more than just being in the chapel, though. And on the enlisted, we're in the barracks, too. We live in the barracks with them. So we're right there always ensuring that they have someone to talk to help keep them grounded, to be that strength when everything else is failing kind of around them and help them still find the will to fight. And I think that's what, General Washington saw, like, hey, who can bring that to the fight? And I think that's why he thought it was important to have a chaplain. And then, later on, the Army established the enlisted counterpart that really is there to help, have the chaplains back on the battlefield, make sure we get 40 out of 40 and stay fit to fight to protect the chaplain, but also to ensure that, we really bridge that gap. It's bringing soldiers to God and God to soldiers. And I think sometimes as enlisted, we get those doors open to us that sometimes the chaplains don't, but then we bring them and say, hey, the chaplain, they're a great guy or a great gal, and they're here to help us. So it's important.
Well, they may tell you something they may not tell the chaplain or may not tell the chain of command. They may
Absolutely.
Not tell the chain of command or what they're. I got to tell you a funny story, and hopefully you guys appreciate that. When I went into service, I went into Fort Lewis, Washington, and I remember standing in front of that, and my drill sergeant was sort of yelling at me. He kept saying all sorts of stuff. And then finally looks at me and says, "What religion are you, Tilly? Are you a Catholic?" I go, "Yes, Sergeant Major." And yes, drill sergeant. I didn't have the heart to tell him I was a Protestant, but I went to Catholic services for about my entire time in basic training. And then finally toward the end, it was just a crazy story. Anyway, hey, sir, the fact of the matter is you do have a tremendous influence on people, and they'll tell you things that they may not tell anybody else. And that's important because everybody needs somebody to talk to. Hey, sir, the Chaplain's Corps history is really remarkable. One story I recently heard is the four chaplains. Would you tell us about that?
Yeah, so what a great story. And for us as chaplains and religious affairs specialists, we really lean on that story for all the right reasons, because it's a story about sacrifice. It's a story about love. So in February 3rd, 1943, our folks were on a U.S. transport called the U.S. Dorchester or the USS Dorchester. And so the Dorchester was headed up, you know, the Atlantic, and it was torpedoed by a German U-boat. And upon being torpedoed, there was absolute chaos on board that ship. And you had four chaplains on there. And what's remarkable about this and what we still really cherish today is the fact that every one of those chaplains were first lieutenants, and they were all from different denominations. So you had a Roman Catholic, a Jewish, a Dutch Reform, and also a Methodist. Four different walks of life on the same ship, and they all make an agreement to give up their life jackets so that soldiers might live, and they all perish together. So it's a remarkable story of love and sacrifice. And really, when we think about that particular soldier, that story, it resonates with us in so many ways, because as the regimental sergeant major talked about a little while ago, you know, we don't go in the battlefield or on the battlefield with a weapon. We're non-combatants. And those non-combatants back then showed what it meant to show sacrificial love for their fellow soldiers. They gave up their life jackets and they perished.
Oh, that's a great story. You know, I was sitting here thinking as you was talking there a little bit, I don't think there's anybody that goes to war that get closer to God. And I remember on more than one occasion that I've said, you know, God, if you just get me out of here, you know, if you just keep me safe or keep my family safe or keep the soldiers or people around me safe, you know, I hear people all the time talking about different things, but when your life is broken down and you don't have anywhere, I'm not saying you have anywhere else to turn, but if you're really struggling, the one thing that we all do is we pray and we believe in life, we believe in God, and we're reaching for somebody to say, hey, look, help, and they'll help you. I've been helped a couple times. That's for doggone sure. That's for sure. Hey, Sergeant Major, what about yourself? You want to add anything? Or I guess the question is, does it still resonate with soldiers?
I think it absolutely does, SMA, because, you know, it really just shows a model of unity and faith under fire, right? And it shows us that courage doesn't always look like a weapon system. That, you know, courage can be displayed in faith and just that spiritual, that calling inside of you that says, okay, if this is what you have, the cup before me, I'm going to go ahead and not let it pass for me. And I think that's what we do, right? We can, and then four different denominations, right? All different walks of life. And that's what we find ourselves in a foxhole with, right? We don't get to choose who our battle buddies are, but the Army does. And then they become people that we would really lay down our lives for. And those four chaplains did that. And again, no weapon in their hand. Their biggest weapon was their faith and knowing that, hey, the sacred service, this was their calling to ensure that, yeah, they went down with that ship, but they ensured that they saved the lives around them prior to that, and they were okay with that. And that's what I think war fighters need to be okay with, the ultimate sacrifice, right? That we don't know when that check might be signed for us, but we all raise our right hand and do it. And I think that just resonates, I know, within the chaplain corps, but definitely we try to tell that story to soldiers that, hey, your faith is a mighty weapon.
Yeah. You know, I tell people all the time, when I came in the military, I raised my hand. I said, I'll protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And that really, to me, it says two things. One is that I'm willing to give up my life for the freedoms of our country. And the second thing is I'm willing to take a life for the freedoms of my country. And that's tough. And it's as I get older, even as a younger person, I never really wanted to hurt or harm anybody. But I knew I was doing it for the good of life, for good of the unit, the good of the country or whatever. But That's a great story. And you guys, I can just tell right now you're passionate about all the stuff that you're doing, and I appreciate what you're doing. You could have been my chaplain, right? I mean, I could have. Hey, sir, you said I seen you in 2002. Where did I see you at?
It was in 2003. We were in Baghdad, we had a hangar. So I was in the 4th Brigade. I believe that we were having a USO trip, and so they came through and so got a chance to see you in action over there. That's why when you were dancing at the beginning, I said, hey, it looked like some of the moves I remember back then.
Yeah, yeah. I used to have that moves, but they're a lot slower now. That's for doggone sure. Hey, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about how you support soldiers. We were talking about just a minute ago in every background. So please stay right there. I'm not going to go in there. Stay right. I'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, I know that you are, because we're talking about God. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about believing. We're talking about us. We're talking about our future. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Chaplain Major General William Green, Jr., Chief of Chaplains, and the Regimental Sergeant Major Megan B. Simmons of the Army Chaplains Corps. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing on behalf of our veterans and their families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle like me, or you're planning to get rid of, or some property you don't have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.com/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or the home donation button to support our work. We would really would support it. Sir, our Army is very diverse. How do you support soldiers in every background, even those who have, you know, no faith at all?
Oh, no, that's the really important question. And it's really at the heart of why I decided to be an Army chaplain. Really, I came in so that I could be with soldiers and support them regardless of their belief and whether or not they have belief at all. That doesn't matter. What matters is it's a person in front of me or beside me or in my unit or, you know, just individual people who are out there doing our nation's bidding and trying to help us win our nation's wars and also to protect the freedoms we enjoy. And so it's been pretty easy for me to do that. And part of the reason why it's been easy for me to do that is because of the respect I have for people and what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. And so over the years, SMA, it's been one of those things that I've cherished. The fact that I'm able to talk with people from all walks of life and sometimes discover whether or not I have something in common with them or not. And even if I don't, what I do have in common with a soldier is that we are soldiers in the United States Army. And so it doesn't matter, you know, their belief system or what have you. So that's probably the joy of getting an opportunity to serve. And it resonates with what I call my sense of calling, why I became an Army chaplain. So I didn't say this in my introduction, but I was enlisted first. And as an enlisted soldier.
No.
as an enlisted soldier is when I got my call into ministry. And so almost immediately I made a decision that I wanted to be an Army chaplain. And so I'm living the dream, actually. But I'm also doing that because I have a genuine sense of care, compassion, empathy, and love for our fellow soldiers and their family members. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times, too, Chaplain, you just want to listen to what they have to say. Sometimes they just want to get that information off their chest and sort of tell you how they feel. And and you can just probably nod your head and maybe give some advice or something like that. But a lot of times it's probably listening because they just want to have somebody to talk to and tell out and just sort of tell you how they feel about whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, because in a lot of cases, you know, when you respect another person and what they believe or what they think, you, in most cases, you will allow them time to just express themselves and be that support system around them. And so I believe that that's what gives me my joy. And it makes me want to get up even still today to get after the business of caring for the Army family and caring for our family members as well.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, you can take the uniform off, but you never take the Army out of me. I'll always be a soldier till the day I die. That's for doggone sure. I love the Army. I love the people in the Army. I do anything I can for the Army because it gave me a lot. Any success I had in life, of course, it was God, my family, and the Army. I've been blessed, that's for sure. Hey, Sergeant Major, would you talk about the Army Chaplain's Corps' three core competencies?
Absolutely, SMA. So, you know, our three core competencies are nurture the living, care for the wounded, and honor the fallen. You know, and with nurturing the living, I mean, that's everything from everyday life, right? So anything, counseling situation, maybe, you know, new baby, new marriage, we're there. We're nurturing you. We're helping you. You find your groove in that, right? Whether getting connected with chapel services, you know, finding, we just talked about, you know, of different faith groups. Some soldiers come in with no faith group. So we know the generation is unchurched. They would say back in the day, 50 years, the trends have kind of gone down. So we're helping soldiers. And that's part of nurturing, find what they believe in. And that's, you know, even with the spiritual domain of the holistic health of fitness, that's what we're getting after with that, is helping. So that's part of our nurturing the living. Of course, caring for the wounded, right? We know we're war fighters. That's what we signed up to do. And unfortunately, sometimes some wounds come with that, both seen and unseen. So, you know, we care for the wounded. We're there in the hospitals. We're there, you know, when they're going through that hard time, helping them through that. And then, of course, you know, the ones that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, we're there to honor the fallen and making sure that their legacy and that is known, you know, and their family knows that we still love them and care about them, and that they're not forgotten, that we always remember those who, you know, have given the ultimate sacrifice. So those are our three core competencies that we live by every day. And then sometimes we're doing all three in one day, right? Because it just, in our formation, all three could happen. But those are our three core competencies that we live by in the Chaplain Corps.
What about the families? We have not talked too much about the families. I mean, I imagine you pull the families all in there together and talk to them about whatever the issues are all the time.
Absolutely, SMA, too. And I mean, and family dynamics changed over the years, even generations, right? So we are wholeheartedly getting after bringing the families into community programs again. And we have our garrison chaplains. They have the responsibility of running the chapel programs across the installation, right? So some big installations might have 10 chapels. You know, you can imagine the amount of the family programs that we have there. Again, just like the MCOM mission is the at-home support. So when the warfighter's out in the field or at the range and doing things, our chaplain corps is nested right there with the garrison command team saying, what can we do for those back home? Because nobody wants to come home and home messed up, right? So the chaplain corps is there providing those support groups. Are they, you know, from Bible studies to children's programs? We have VBS right now probably is going on across all the installations in the Army, and it's one of the biggest programs, summer programs that we have. Again, you know, things that we grew up with, our Army children get to grow up with too within our bases. We offer those same things just like in the civilian sector.
Yeah, but I think about, when I think, great program, but I think about the families, though. I think about all the birthdays I missed, all the, you know, the Christmases and Thanksgiving, all those things I missed. And I remember one time I was talking to my wife about, and I stayed in the Army 36 years. I talked to my wife about going on vacation. And I said, baby, what's the last vacation that you can remember? She said, remember that APHIS conference we went to? So out of 36 years, all she can remember is one APHIS conference. I said, oh my gosh, yeah. I really messed up there. Hey, I'd like each one of you to share a moment in your career that reminds you of why this work matters, and that reinforces the importance of the Chaplain Corps and the Army. And sir, we'll start with you.
You know, thank you. And wow, so there's so many, but yeah. I can probably reflect on one right now where there was this young soldier that was really going through something really difficult, and to the point where they were really struggling with life and really meaning and purpose. And so that individual did seek me out We had a really, really, really great conversation. But when it came to them being referred to like behavioral health, they didn't necessarily want to go by themselves. And so I was able to convince that individual to go to behavioral health, but then also to walk with them.
Yeah.
And that whole theme of walking with is so important because, again, it kind of reflects back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of, you know, respect for your soldiers and loving them and caring for them. And so that individual, we ended up, you know, walking over to behavioral health together. They got the help they needed, and they were able to really strive after that. And that's just, you know, one instance where there's a tremendous amount of joy and satisfaction, you know, for me, mainly because I was able to help somebody in a time of need. And I just think that's important to stop what we're doing and to take a moment to show compassion and care and to empathize with somebody. It's extremely important. And our lives mean something to me. They're important. And so for that particular individual that day, that was just, it was an honor to be there for them and to walk with them.
Yeah, they've got to trust you. They got to believe in you. They got to know that you you care. You do that by your actions, right? You know, when you're talking to them, when you're, you know, whatever. But they, if they trust you, they'll follow you anywhere, that's for sure. Sergeant Major, same question.
Yeah, SMA. So, you know, I think about a young private. You know, privates can be knuckleheads, right? We're trying to learn life, figure things out. And this soldier, you know, I got in trouble. And, you know, and sometimes when you get in trouble, it's easy to get pushed away or feel like you're never going to recover from that, right? And I think that's where even with us, with our confidentiality and just that no judgment zone that we have in the VDU ministry office, you know, you come to us and the chaplain's going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you. But just really giving them grace and saying, hey, man, you can bounce back from this. You can redeem yourself from this, right? You really dig deep and kind of learn from this and, you know, keep pushing because they're like, nah, maybe I should get out. Maybe the Army's not for me. You know, like any good non-commissioned officer, I'm like, no, we can get you back on the right track now, right? You're probably a future Sergeant Major, you know? We've all made some bad choices in life. But so just really pouring into that individual and, you know, actually got to see him a few years back and they did stay in. And they said, you know what, that time that you spent with me and didn't push me away really probably saved my life. Because if I would have got out of the military, I don't know what I would have done. And, you know, to see that they're now, you know, a senior NCO and flourishing in their career, it's like, hey, you know, that means something and what we do. And it wasn't anything, you know, outside of just sitting there and being present in the moment and just encouraging that, hey, this is just a small glimpse of your story. It's not their whole story, right? And that's just what faith does to you, right? Like, hey, what's your purpose? What's your calling? What were you put here to do? And he's like, you know, I was here to be a soldier. And, you know, like USMA, we're a soldier for life, right? So to see that they're still walking out their purpose, even though they might have had a bump in the road, and, it, you know, to relate it back to a conversation and just that safe place in the chaplain's office, that really was a pivotal point in their career. So, yes, SMA, that was probably one of the highlights to hear that they're doing well and still serving.
Hey, look here, I had so many bumps in the road, I can't remember all of them. I got to be honest with you. I wasn't a good person. Well, I was probably okay, but I wasn't a good person. And the Army, with a lot of guidance and a lot of help, sort of put me in the right direction. I made some mistakes, but I always had a chaplain or a non-commissioned officer that pointed me in the right direction. That sort of nurtured me a little bit, so I, you know, got my feet on the ground and went in the right direction. I didn't turn out too bad. I'm probably not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but I, right. I tried to do my part. That's for doggone sure. This is a great discussion. I think I'd probably talk to you about 2 or 3 hours or something like that. But there's always a but to everything. We need to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about what's in store for the future of the Army Chaplains Corps. So please don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Chaplain Major General William Green, Jr., Chief of Chaplains, and the Regimental Sergeant Major, Megan B. Simmons of the Army Chaplains Corps. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I've said many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Sir, what does the future look like for the Chaplains Corps? Probably everybody wants to know. I know I do.
Yes. So it's exciting, SMA. And I could tell you, you know, we've been thinking through that a lot, though, to be honest with you, because, you know, the character of war is changing. And as a result of that, there are some things that we're thinking about in terms of how do we make sure that we remain relevant on the battlefield of the 21st century? How do we do that? And with that, you know, we've been really, really looking at, you know, innovation and how we can make sure that we are present. And for most of us as chaplains, we really care about this thing called the direct delivery of religious support. That means that we are with our soldiers wherever they go and no matter what they might be encountering or dealing with. And so, probably about 2016, we started in earnest looking at transforming the United States Army Chaplain Corps. And so if you were to go down to our Religious Leader Academy right now at Fort Jackson, and it's called the Institute for Religious Leadership now, if you were to go down there and you were to go through some training, you might see some drones in a tree or something along those lines. Why? Because we're really responding to the 21st century battlefield and just how things are changing. And we've also spent some time thinking about virtual reality, right? So if we can't get there personally, then maybe there is another option. And we believe that there is another option just based on what might be going on in the theater or in the area that we're, you know, in. So now we're really thinking about, hey, look, what can we do as a corps? Just to absolutely to ensure that we remain relevant and ready and responsive to the needs of our soldiers on the battlefield. But it doesn't stop there. We're also looking at, you know, how can we meet the needs of our soldiers back in garrison and their families as well. And so we have a cadre of programs called Building Strong and Ready Teams. And that particular program, or at least that cohort of programs, it has probably about 45, close to 50 different curriculum sets that we're looking at to respond to the 21st century soldier and his or her family. So, you know, I think the future is exciting, to be very honest with you. And I think it's exciting for a lot of reasons. It's exciting because we're lockstep with the Chief of Staff of the Army and our Secretary of the Army in terms of transformation. So the Chaplain Corps is not on the outside looking in. We are lockstep with the rest of the Army, thinking through how we're going to respond and what we're going to be in the 21st century. And I believe that we're on a really, really just a great glide path to achieving a lot of really remarkable things to ensure that we are absolutely responsive.
So I got to ask you just one question. How does social media play in with the chaplains now? I mean, I would think that there's so many young adults that are in social media and they're putting all that stuff out. You may be social media wizards now or something. I don't know. But are you using social media to reach
Absolutely.
Out to people? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We're on all the platforms. If you can probably, like this weekend, especially like at across the Army, actually, but I'll speak to Fort Jackson. I mean, there are a number of services that we have that are on social media that the average American can just tune in and hear a sermon, or, you know, if they are a different faith group, they could probably hear that faith group as well. So we're connected with social media for all the right reasons, because we believe that that is also another recruiting tool, but it's also a way that we can care for our soldiers and their family members when we're away from each other.
Yeah. One last question, because this is always interesting to me. What if I have an issue or a problem? Can I contact somebody on social media or a chaplain on social media and sort of have a one-on-one conversation?
Right. And that would be the start of that conversation because, they could drop something in the message, in the chat or something along those lines in mm-hmm. order to get some support or help. And that's the exciting thing about it, right? I talked about the direct delivery of religious support, but in some cases, you're not going to be able to be there. And yet, someone may take the time to listen to one of our services. And as a result of that, may say, hey, look, I need some help. And so we are ensuring that we're on all those platforms and also responsive to the needs of our soldiers and their families.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to one more comment about this is when I was a senior non-commissioned officer, one of the things I knew that soldiers needed to see me all as much as I could. So I'd do whatever I had to do in the office and I'd get out and see. So I imagine it's the same thing in the chaplain's corps. If they see you, they might want to talk to you in the motor pool or in the, wherever. But maybe right. not in their environment, sort of out of their environment or in their environment, whatever. I would imagine, again, the chaplain is doing a lot of that. That's just good leadership.
Absolutely. And that's what we really encourage our chaplains and religious affairs specialists really to get mm-hmm. out, to just get out there where the soldiers are in the motor pool, as you mentioned before. And then also, don't run away from the field training exercises. Right. Make sure
you
are at the field training exercises. Whenever those happen, it's a no fail mission in my mind. You have to be there with them. And I've had a lot of really great commanders. They just said to me, Chaplain, I want you to be with my soldiers. Well, they didn't necessarily have to tell me that. Right. Or even the regimental that. Right. It was just a part of who we are and part of our DNA is to be around people. And then also to be responsive to them. And again, a word that I love, and that is compassion, and just walk with them.
I got to tell you a quick story. I've got a million stories. I had a commander one time, and I told him the same thing. I said, sir, you got to get out with the soldiers and see what's going on. And so the day we had a 12-mile road march, he came in with brand new jump boots. And he said, Sergeant Major, I'm going to walk with you today. I said, are you sure, sir? You got these new boots. I don't think that guy could walk for about 2 weeks after that road march.
Right.
Hey, I'm getting off track here a little bit. Sergeant Major, same question to you, though. Same question.
As a man, again, we've been transforming the chaplain corps since 2017, like the chief said. And I think also, Army's in the middle of a transformation, too. So even with the spiritual domain. So on the enlisted side, we're really expanding capabilities. We're making sure that we're educating our enlisted because, like you said, too, sometimes we're the path of least resistance, right? It's a little bit easier to come talk to an enlisted member, same rank. We're not an officer. So we're just equipping our enlisted, right? We're redoing POIs and make sure we're nesting with that and getting after what the soldiers need in our formations. Also, we're looking at AI and, how that looks in the future with, us providing religious support. And again, like you said, hey, they just need to see you. So the chief and I actually, we're probably just telling this secret on your podcast right now, but we are actually looking at starting our own podcast here soon and actually bringing
traffic.
Yeah, we're joining the podcast crew. So our team is working at that and hopefully, kicking off our, going into 251 years next year, we will be releasing our podcast and getting after topics to talk about it, so they see what the chaplain corps is bringing to the fight and just empowering our teams at the ground level. So those are some things. But, hey, we're always going to be bold, though. The next 250 years, we're going to be bold. We're going to be adapted. But we're still going to be rooted in the sacred call and service.
Well, I don't know if I'll make that next 250, but... But you can invite me to your podcast. I'd love to come on your show and talk
Absolutely.
When you started. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
First of all, let me say I can tell just by listening to you, both of you talk that you love what you're doing and you love taking care of people and their families and they've got the right people in charge right there in the chaplain's corps. And so I appreciate what you're doing and this has been an absolute great discussion and you're making a difference. And if I can ever help you in any small way, I certainly would do that any way I can. Do you have any final thoughts, anything that you want to reemphasize to the audience that maybe we missed? And, sir, we'll start with you. Anything you want to share with the audience that maybe you missed or you want to reemphasize?
Well, one thing I'll talk about just a little bit, and I'll leave space for my regimental sergeant major, because I know that she is absolutely excited about what's getting ready to happen for us here in about next Friday, the 1st of August. So one of the things that we're like focused on is really having a great celebration, right? We are going to look at just having a time to reflect upon all the people that came before us, because we're standing on their shoulders. Standing on their shoulders. And we want to celebrate 250 years of service to God and country. And for me, my final word is this, right? If you're out there and you're having a rough time, just maybe a little bit of a rough patch, and you need someone to talk to, we want to encourage you to seek out your chaplain and your religious affairs specialist. These individuals are absolutely trained and ready to respond to your need in such a way that honors you and honors your sense of privacy and gives you the space to be who you are, but yet to also recover or to get the help that you need. And so I'm excited about being a United States Army chaplain. I've been a chaplain now for over 30 something years. And I'm going to just say, I think I still have a lot of fuel in my tank, but one of these days I'm going to walk away from the Corps, but not in totality. Because I am so thankful for the legacy that we have and the scores of young chaplains and religious affairs specialists who are ready to take our place. We are setting the conditions for that now. And if you're in Columbia, South Carolina on around the 1st of August and you want to come and see the Chaplain Corps have a great time, come on out and join us.
No, you're having a golf tournament, aren't you, at the
same time?
I wish I could make it up there. I have a friend of mine, Tom Gills. I don't know, you may, Sergeant Major Gills. He was a G1 sergeant. I think he's going to go there and represent us at your golf tournament anyway. So that's for doggone sure. Huh.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sergeant Major, any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience?
Yes, May. So, you know, like the chief said, next week we are, you know, turning 250 years old and have a huge celebration. Now, with that celebration, we have some training leading up to it. We do kick it off Monday Tuesday with the golf tournament. But then we're going to have our religious leaders symposium, right? And we're going to talk about all the things for the future of the Corps and making sure our chaplains and religious affairs specialists are equipped, right? Because we've stood the test of time. We really have. When everything else fails, your spirit won't fail you, right? If you make sure that you're spiritually strong. On the 1st of August, though, with 750 of our closest friends and a lot of our retirees, our past regimentals and chief of chaplains are coming out just to celebrate, you know, what we have the opportunity and blessing to be a part of, right? We're just a small piece of the 250 years of service. But, you know, again, we want to make sure that we're equipping the next generation and the future chiefs and regimentals of our Corps to have the same passion, the same drive. And I'm going to tell you, PT's been great, SMA, you know, the nutrition and the good defects. But I'm going to tell you, it has been the spirit that has sustained me and my faith in God for the last 22 years and for however many years left that he has me wearing this uniform. But again, don't underestimate the spiritual domain and what a strong spiritual life can do for you, because it sure has sustained me for 22 years, SMA.
Oh, I love it. Hey, look here, usually I have a cake. I should add a cake here for 250th birthday, but I'm going to give you something special. Here you go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Cut! Hey, happy birthday to you. God bless. I wish
you had
a cake.
Thank
you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's, again, I just don't say that. If I can ever help you in any way, please reach out to us. We will do all we can to support the Chaplain Corps. And again, I believe in life. I believe in God. I believe in our Army, and I believe in you. God bless you.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor, an absolute honor to be here with you.
Thank you so much. Thanks again to Chaplain Major General William Green and the Regimental Sergeant Major Megan Simmons of the Army Chaplains Corps for being with us. I tell you what, I'm just so pumped up now, I don't know what to do. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying your Next Mission Video Podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website, yournextmission.org, and While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military at Offline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages. Never thought I'd ever say this. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and of course, Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave your message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Chaplain Major General Green and the Regimental Simmons, Sergeant Major Simmons, for joining us today. At this part of the show, I just give my final thoughts. I am so pumped up about God. You should always be pumped up about God. You see, I believe in God. I believe in faith. I've said prayers and I've got down on my hands and knees so many times in my life and prayed for things to help me, something to be turned around. And guess what? It happens. But see, you can't be by yourself. You got to reach out to people. You got to say, I need help. But you're not by yourself. I tell people all the time that nobody's by themselves. You got to look for somebody to reach out and help you. And I would tell you that the two people we just talked to on the show, those are two people that care about you, that want to make a difference in your lives, that want to change your lives, that will listen to you and point you in the right direction if you need it. Thanks again for watching, and thanks to Newmont Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground.
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.